Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. And I tried to tell them I'm 39 and holding, but they won't believe me. Anyway, it's good to it's good to be here. I was here last year on Father's Day. It doesn't seem a year. And my wife, my dear Elsie, had just gone home to be with the Lord. And it seems an eternity in one way, but in another sense, it seems as though it was just last week. So thank you for coming out. I have one verse for you, and it's found, you needn't turn to it, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Very important verse indeed in relation to the rapture of the church. And as I look around this lovely service this morning, this congregation, I know that I'm looking into the faces of the majority who will be changed. That's the word the Bible uses. That's the word that the Apostle Paul uses. This is the word in our authorized Bible version. Change. Behold, says Paul, I show you a mystery. And as I mentioned last Sunday, of course, a mystery, 13 of them in the Bible. A Bible mystery doesn't mean that it's mysterious. It's something that God ultimately reveals to the person or persons who is in a right relationship with Him. He reveals that mystery. There are various ones, I mentioned 13 of them. The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery of the church, and so forth. And again, Mystery Babylon in the book of the Revelation. But here, in relation to the second coming of the Lord Jesus, is what was a mystery until the Holy Spirit of God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And he's saying, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is the sleep of death, but we shall all be changed. We. Let me stop there for a moment or two. That word we, that little two-lettered word, that word includes every single Christian here this morning. That plural pronoun includes everyone in this building who's been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Everyone who has come as a sinner and said, Lord Jesus, you died for me on that cross at Calvary. I receive you into my heart and life to be my very own personal Savior. Everyone who knows Him, everyone who has a personal relationship with Him. But, again, I'm so glad our dear brother Billy mentioned this. I've been trying to get round to speaking on the wedding supper of the Lamb. But somehow, just at present, can't get to it. Probably next Sunday, if the Lord hasn't come, we'll deal with it. I'm so glad he mentioned that. But you see, there's someone here this morning, possibly, or probably, or almost certainly, and I don't know. I don't know anyone here this morning was not a Christian, only God knows. I thought for many, many years that my dear father wasn't a Christian, and at 83 years of age he died. And we heard, in fact I was here, I was having lunch with dear Mr. and Mrs. DeWitt Thompson of Central, my good friends there. It was a Sunday. Had a call saying that my father had gone to heaven. I didn't know that he'd gone to heaven. There in the ward of the hospital was a lovely West Indian nurse who read the scriptures to him. When my brother came in, she said to him, you know, Mr. Davis, your daddy is a Christian. He said, what? I don't think so. Yes, he's a Christian. When Len, my brother, went and talked to Dad about it, he said, Len, I am a Christian. He'd never confessed it. And Dr. Torrey is a young fellow in his teens over there in Cardiff, Wales, in a great meeting. He received the Lord Jesus as his Savior, but he'd never confessed it. And the years had passed. His life was as good as many Christians whom I knew personally. But he never was baptized. At the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to lose. Everything's going to be hay, wood, and stubble. That which represents the works that are not permanent. No gold, silver, precious stones, those things that represent permanency in the spiritual life. But Daddy is there, saved as though by fire. He got there, the fire, of course, burning up all the works. They weren't spiritual works. They weren't works that came from the Holy Spirit. But, he was there, and I didn't know it. And he's in heaven today. So as I look around this lovely service this morning, this congregation, I want to say to you, before we get into our little message, are you a Christian? Are you ready for the rapture? Now, on Wednesday night, we started a message based on an acrostic on the word changed. C-H-A-N-G-E-D. We just managed to get through, and again, I intended getting through at least half, two or three of the words represented by the letters, the initial letters of the words, and making the acrostic. But we just managed to get through the first word, and the first letter of the word changed, as you know, is the word circumstances, those who were here. The moment we're raptured, that very moment the Lord Jesus comes, all our circumstances are going to be changed, and I think we might use the word absolute. The word absolute, again, may I remind you, in case you've forgotten, the word absolute means you can't add anything to it. And as far as the Christian is concerned, all his circumstances will be absolutely changed. But not yours if you're not a Christian, dear one. Not yours. Or we pray, you pray, I'm sure, for our two brethren, Brother Hartman and Brother Billy, one or two others who go with them occasionally as they go to that. And it is indeed an awful place. I've been there many times. Thank God, by the grace of God, not as a prisoner, but for the grace of God, I might have been there many, many times. Perhaps you would have too, but for the grace of God. An awful place indeed, but many of those men are finding Christ under the ministry of our two brethren. And I believe I heard, put me right here, I think I heard the news over ZNS last week, and I believe I heard that there are, I may have made a mistake, Brother Billy put me right here if I made a mistake. I believe that I heard the number, the figure, 30 people on death row. Put me right after, Brother Billy, if I'm wrong. 30 people on death row. Some of those men have found Christ, I know. And I remember years ago going there, and one of my colleagues had led four of those men on death row to the Lord Jesus. And they're in heaven. You say murderers in heaven? They're in heaven because of the grace of God, beloved. Oh, the abounding grace of God, even reaching down to men who have taken the lives of other human beings here on planet Earth. Now, we come very quickly to the second letter of our acrostic. C for circumstances, in the word change, remember, this is an acrostic. C for the word circumstances. Now, H stands for the word habitation. Everything seems to be fitting in this morning. Those two lovely children who repeated John chapter 14, remember? Let not your heart be troubled, said the Lord Jesus. He was going home, you see. He was going home, and he's telling them he's going to leave them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. My Father's home, if you like. He was away from home. He'd left his home. And he'd come here to this dimension of sin, this awful sphere of sin and rebellion against him, to die for you and me and the sins of the world, every single human being. He took the penalty, the wages, for every single member of Adam's race on that cross of Calvary. He had the divine capacity to suffer. And we will never, ever know the depth, the meaning, the wonder, the horrors of Calvary. So, we're thinking of that home. When you think of home, you think, if I were to come round here this morning and say to you, now, my dear friends, I want you to think of home, and think of three or four words commencing with the letter F. These three or four words commence with the letter F as you think of home. Well, the first word that you would think of probably is father. I didn't think of this on Wednesday evening, and now I know as I look back and I wondered after. In fact, I think I might have said to the Lord, why did I just have to deal with the one letter? I wanted to get through more quickly. And in fact, I think I remember saying to them, those who were here, and it was a very bad evening, but there were a few who managed to get out. And then I remember saying, I'm sure I said, we're hoping to get through two or three of these words, C-H-A, for instance. First letters of the word changed in our acrostic. But you see, it's Father's Day, and I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that we would be talking about the home and Father in the home. I knew we would be talking about habitation, the second word of our acrostic, but it didn't relate, it didn't connect that this would be Father's Day, and this would have a bearing upon fathers. So when the Lord Jesus was talking about home, he was talking about Father. And he was thinking about Father in my Father's home. My Father's house. And many dwelling places, many resting places. And do you know, many, many here this morning in this church, I look back over 37 years since I started coming here to the islands, this wonderful country. And I still say it, I've said it many, many years, I still believe this is one of the most wonderful countries in the world today. We don't appreciate it as much as we should, perhaps. But I look back over the years, dear ones, and I think of many times standing here, Brother Alec, mostly taking the service, sometimes, very often I would have to give the message. And I know that many of you folk are looking forward to that reunion. Hardly a family here this morning, I doubt whether there's one family here this morning who hasn't some loved one there in Father's home, Father's house, and you're waiting to see him or her, a daddy, a mummy, brother or a sister, daughter, son, someone there at home in the Father's house. But will you be there to meet them? I want to say to you on the authority of my Bible this morning, I want to say to you on the authority of the word of the Lord Jesus, on the authority of the apostles, on the authority of all God's servants down through the century, on the authority of the whole of this book, the teaching of this book, and especially in the Gospels and the New Testament epistles, on that authority, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to fill my heart with love as I say this to you. You will not be there in the Father's home if you're not a Christian. You will not meet that loved one again if you've not received his or her Savior. And again, I can't imagine those brought up in this wonderful country without knowing the gospel. And the greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. Now, again, Father, are you bringing up your children in the fear and the instruction of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord? Thank God that you're here this morning. But are you a father without Christ and your children are coming to this lovely Sunday school? You haven't yet received the Lord Jesus and they need, or you may be a good father. I'm not doubting that one little bit. I am not doubting one iota that you're a good father and a good provider and a good husband to your wife. But are you the kind of father to whom that child can look and say, my daddy is a Christian? And he is my example. Listening to the broadcast this morning, someone gave an illustration, thought it was very, very good. It was 6:30, it comes from one of the altars, a very wonderful man of God preaching, 6:30 I think it is, or 6:45, 7 o'clock on ZNS. And he mentioned about a father who every morning on the way to work, he would stop at a bar and have a drink, just one drink. One morning, apparently, it was snowing rather heavily. And he went, and on the way, suddenly he happened to turn just after leaving the house. He noticed his little boy of 7 was following him. He stopped, and he said to him, what's happening? Why are you doing this? And the little fellow had been trying his best to walk in his daddy's footsteps. Well, he sent the little fellow home. Daddy went on to work. He didn't stop at the bar. When he got to his office, apparently, the Holy Spirit, of course, had spoken to him. When he got to the office, he bent down and received the Lord Jesus into his heart and life. He became a Christian. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had brought to his notice that he was not a good example to that little boy of 7 years of age. And he realized that the best way to become an example was to receive Jesus into his heart. Dear Father, here this morning I plead with you as a servant of God. I plead with you in the name of God. Become a real father. And you can't become a real father until you become a Christian and receive Jesus into your heart. You love that little boy, that little girl, those little ones here. I don't know, of course, you forgive me if I'm right. But maybe the daddy of some of these little ones who came up this morning, how proud you were to see them standing here singing or reciting, or there in the front and in the Sunday school. And maybe they've loved the Lord Jesus. They've opened their hearts and they love the Lord Jesus. But you haven't opened your heart to him. And you're going out from this building this morning, still perhaps without your little boy Savior, your little girl Savior. Become a Christian on Father's Day. When you think of home, of course, and again, if I were to come round, you would say to me, well, Brother Bill, yes, when I think of home, I think of the word Father, obviously. But I also think of the word family. And also the word fellowship. Also the word friendship. Those are the four characteristics. In fact, I would have dealt with all this morning, even if it hadn't been Father's Day. So you see how the Holy Spirit is just blending the thoughts and the words and the little message into this message on the change that comes to the Christian. Tonight, by the way, may I say this in passing, the next letter is letter A. Letter A, we're going to deal with angelic ministry that will be absolutely changed at the present moment. If it were to happen now, at this present moment, then there would be no longer any need for angelic ministry. And the Bible teaches that the Christian, and the Christian father, of course, not you if you're not a Christian, but the Christian father knows what it is to have angelic ministry. I'm going to give you a story out of my own life. When an angel, right here in Nassau, absolutely sure that it was an angel, when my wife was ill about 15 months ago, and I believe an angel came, there she was, one of the worst days I'd ever had in my experience. She had diabetes, Alzheimer's, and leukemia. And the devil was doing his utmost to upset me. And I never get despondent, never get in despair. But this day, everything was coming on top of me. And an angel, look, I'm going to tell you about it this evening. Angelic ministry. But dear ones, you know nothing at all about angelic ministry. You cannot call God your Father if you're not a Christian. You cannot expect to go to the Father's home at the rapture, at that moment of change, In a moment, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep in death, but we shall all be changed. Our circumstances will be changed. Our habitation, our home will be changed. Away from home here in the Bahamas, away from that house of yours, to the Father's eternal home. And no home for you. No angelic ministry. And the angel says, the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 1 of Hebrews, are ministering spirits, serving spirits, sent forth to minister, sent forth to serve those who are the heirs of salvation. Every Christian here this morning is an heir of salvation. If you're not a Christian, dear one, dear father, you are not an heir of salvation. Therefore, there's no fatherhood of God for you, even down here, all in heaven. No home in heaven for you. And no angelic ministry. You see how the Holy Spirit has been fitting this in? And I can't take any credit for it at all. I just simply, day by day, as an unworthy servant of God, and one of the least of God's saints, I yield my body to the Lord, and I appropriate the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I say, thank you, God, right at the beginning of the week. Thank you, God, for the messages that I have prepared this week. For dear old Shirley Heights. Thank you, Lord, for the messages. And he gives them to me. No credit. It doesn't come out of my little computer between my eyes. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this message this morning is for some dear father here in this service. Knowing nothing of the fatherhood of God. Knowing nothing of God as Father in the absolute and perfect sense when the rapture comes and the saints go, every believer is changed. Knowing nothing at all of the family of God. Every local church, every fundamental church, evangelical church, that knows Jesus as Lord and preaches the gospel, that's a family. It's a spiritual family. And if you are a Christian, a secret disciple, just as my dear father was, then you need a spiritual family. Why not consider the Bible teaching of baptism and come into this family? Come into the family. And then if the Lord were to come in your lifetime, which he probably will, even my strong conviction is, at my age, that the Lord is coming before I go to heaven. Increasingly, as the days go by, I'm getting a deeper and deeper conviction that I'm going to be here. Because he's coming very, very soon, as our dear brother said. But you know nothing at all of these wonderful truths. Nothing of the family of God, being in the family of God, the outside. You know nothing of the blessings, the belonging to men and women of different walks of life who are born again and who are sons and daughters of the living God. Nothing at all. And therefore you know nothing at all of the fellowship of the family of God and the friendship. One of the Greek words, of course, that we often hear about, eros or eros, as some American people pronounce it. That's the lowest form of love. Very often it's related to sex. Then there's storge, which belongs to nature. And the Apostle Paul talks about this writing to Timothy, and one of the characteristics of the last days. And these people, they have no storge love, no natural love, even for their families, their loved ones and their friends. Then there's philia, of course, which is brotherly love. Brotherly love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But the moment you become, oh, there's agape love, which the greatest love is outside the sphere of human love. There's no love comparable with it. Even the love of a woman is not comparable. It's a way above. It was a new word that was brought into the Christian faith, brought into the world through the Christian faith. But you see, dear one, you know nothing at all of this family love if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again of the Holy Spirit. And there's no home there. Home. home. Home speaks of harmony, doesn't it? Here's another little acrostic, if you like. Some Christians in our, I find this in some of the outgrounds, some of the folk, they love an acrostic, and it sort of helps. The words are sort of, the letters are pegs on which you hang the words of the acrostic. Now, the word home stands for harmony. In the real home, there's harmony. In God's home, there's harmony. And in the local church, a family, there should be harmony. Then you have the letter O, that stands for obedience in the home, of course. Fathers, you know something of that. What it is to make your children obedient. Then you get the letter M, stands for mother. Oh, let me stop there for a moment. One of the lovely Old Testament words for Jehovah is El Shaddai. One of Brother Bruce's favorite Old Testament titles. El Shaddai, the mother-hearted God. And some Greek scholar said, and you know what I mean when I say this, I'm not going to enlarge on it, the breasted God. The breasted God. The mother-hearted God. The feminists today, of course, they're trying to get rid of the masculine terms in the Bible. NIV tried to do it in England, and the British people wouldn't have it. And the NIV people have had to withdraw the Bible. God is our Father, of course, but He's the mother-hearted God. He's El Shaddai. He's not only our Father, but He's our wonderful mother-hearted God, our breasted God. He loves you. That's simply what it means. That's the meaning of the word, among other meanings. Then we have the letter E, for home. That speaks of enjoyment. If there's one place where there should be pure enjoyment, a real enjoyment, and there is in a real Christian home, there is the enjoyment that comes because every member of the family loves the Lord Jesus. Oh, said the psalmist, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, not the sort of pleasure that the world indulges in. Men and women of the world, they're indulging in pleasures that are not real, they're not spiritual. They're sinful pleasures, and those pleasures never, never satisfy. But the pleasures that come from being in the home, the spiritual home of our Heavenly Father, because His Son came to die for you and me, those pleasures are pleasures forevermore, and we enjoy them now. I remember in the army, when I first arrived into the British Army, my colleagues every night, we were 25, I've nearly finished by the way, we were 24 I think it was, in the barrack room, 25 with the sergeant in charge, who had a little room of his own on the end. Place there in England, in the heart of England. And I remember my first experience. Those fellows were going out at night. I got down, I don't think I even prayed. I was so scared the first night, fully expecting someone to throw his boot at me. But there was a silence in the back room. And what I didn't know was that there was another believer there. I didn't know he was a believer until the end of our 3 months training. He came to me after and he said, Bill, you know, I'm a Christian. He belonged to a different denomination. Thoroughly evangelical church he went to, too. Said, I'm a Christian. I said, you're a Christian. And he knew what I meant. Every night he was going out when we could go out apart from our friends. He would go out and he'd go to the bar. He'd go to the theater. He'd see all kinds of things that a Christian shouldn't see and hear all kinds of things that a Christian shouldn't hear. And I didn't say anything to him, except, you were a Christian? He knew what I meant. And here was a man standing in front of me. We were about to say goodbye. I was going to stay. I'd been invited to stay on the staff, and I'd be given some kind of a job on the staff for the time. He was leaving. To this day, I don't know. Many of those men went out into the battlefields, and they didn't come back. Never heard of that friend, and I preached the gospel to quite a few, I think everyone in that barrack room. But here was someone, and he wasn't saved. At least, I thought he wasn't saved. But he was. He was a Christian. And he's going to heaven. The world doesn't satisfy. If you want real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. This is what the boys and girls sing, and it's true, absolutely true. If you want joy, real enjoyment, real pleasure, the word, of course, pleasure, well, it's been corrupted because of pleasure, as the world thinks of pleasure. But when the Bible talks of pleasure, and when the authorized translators in 1611 translated, they weren't thinking of worldly pleasure. Neither was the psalmist. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now tonight we're going to deal with the second, the third. We dealt with the first and the second. But even as I close, may I say as I look into your dear heart, may I ask you the question again? If Jesus were to come, would your circumstances be changed? Or would you remain in them? If the Lord Jesus were to come, would your habitation, your home be changed? Would you go to Father? Your Father? If you're a Christian? Would you go to that place of friendship where all the family of God are, from every country, from every creed, belonging to all colors, all nations? Would you? Would you go to that place of friendship, eternal friendship, and best of all, see the one, look at his face, the one who became a friend of sinners, your friend, to die for you. Let's pray. I'm not going to ask you to come forward as I make an appeal. I'm going to ask you to tell me after if you want to receive the Lord Jesus. Well, why not receive him now? I won't ask you to come forward in front of everybody. Why not receive him now? You know the way. D.L. Moody, that great American evangelist, was taught a lesson in Chicago when he told people after a great service to go home and consider what he'd said. And then there was the great fire of Chicago. Many of those people were burned to death. After that, he made an appeal. Will you now accept Jesus as your Savior? Pray this, the sinner's prayer. Pray the sinner's prayer after me. Don't say it. Please don't say it. Please. Please don't pray this prayer unless you're going to mean it. Lord Jesus, say it in your heart. He'll hear it. I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. I receive you into my heart and life. Now, to be my Savior and my Lord. Give me courage to confess you to the preacher, or to someone else before I leave today. Father, you may have heard this prayer. Perhaps someone has prayed the prayer and meant it. Give your servant the joy and the privilege of hearing the confession. For your word says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Bless every home, every family, every dear father here this morning. And if, Lord Jesus, you don't come this evening, bringeth up in the power of the Spirit, and bring everyone along, saved and unsaved. Give us a time of blessing, a time of rejoicing as we thank you for dear brother Jeremy and his service here in our assembly. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, thy love, Father, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be the abiding portion of all your dear ones here and all your people everywhere. Can all the people say amen? Thank you. And I have a little tract I wrote many years ago. If you received the Lord Jesus this morning or last Sunday in the meeting, I felt God was speaking to someone last Sunday, as you leave, ask me for that. My great tradition. Billy Graham's closest friend lived in Cardiff years ago. I was friendly with him. I used to work with him, Dr. Stephen Alford, and he used to use this little tract that I brought out just after the war, many, many years ago. If you receive the Lord Jesus, or if you want to receive him, ask me for this book. Now, if you can stay for a little chat, come down here, please, to the little room on the right, and give me the joy of talking with you. Give me an opportunity to come and shake hands with you, please. Give me time to get to the foyer before you go.